Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yechezkel, Perek Chavav, Chapter 26. This is the first of three prakim, which is going to discuss Tzur, an island state to the northwest of Israel in the Mediterranean. After this perek, there will be four additional prakim about Egypt, which is in comparison to the previous perek, which only had one perek for four of the neighbors to the east. Tzur is not yet conquered by Bavel, but they need to know about what is coming to them. Tzur and Sidon are better known as the Phoenicians. There were two main cities, a series of small islands, and then a small strip of coastland which marked their territory. Sometimes Tzur was the capital, and other times Sidon was the capital. The main time we heard about Tzur in Tanakh is during the days of Shlomo HaMelech, when Hiram Melech Tzur offered to help build the Beis HaMikdash, and that he sent a lot of supplies, including the Arzei HaLevanon, which Tzur is very famous for their cedar trees. Tzur also helped build the second Beis HaMikdash during the times of Ezra after they returned from Bavel. In the time period of David and Shlomo, we know that Hiram Melech Tzur was a strong ally of David and Shlomo, and there was a strong alliance and one of love and comfort between the two countries. In fact, so great was this alliance that in Malchus Yisrael, Yezebel's father was from Phoenicia, and she married Ahav, and her marriage brought a lot of influence and problems into Malchus Yisrael, which then also influenced Malchus Yehuda. During the time of Sanherib, the kingdom split into two. Tzur became its own independent kingdom, and Sidon became its own independent kingdom. The name Tzur means rock, and it's referring to the rocky island which it was located on, which was very hard to conquer. The first time Tzur was conquered was during the time of Nebuchadnezzar, which is going to be discussed in this parak, and it took 13-year siege to conquer this country. Josephus describes how Nebuchadnezzar built a dam to help move the troops into place so he could conquer this city. Later, these fortifications and earthworks were added to by Alexander the Great to create a causeway so that he could lay siege and attack, and then when he was finally able to capture the city, he completely destroyed it. In its heyday, Tzur was a very wealthy and well-established city-state. It was famous for its merchants and its ability to sail the seas and establish trade and build ships. As we said before, it was also known for its cedar trees, for its natural resources, for the Arzei HaLevanon. In this parak, the parak focuses on the joy that Tzur feels upon the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash because they're going to have a financial benefit from this destruction. We find in Amos that discusses how they also helped to bring about Churban through their greed. It says in Amos, Parak Aleph, Pasuk Tes, Chapter 1, Verse 9, Al Haskiram Galus Shlema LeEdom, that they handed over an entire population to Edom, Velo Zachru Bris Achim, and they didn't remember the covenants of brothers. What this is talking about is after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, a number of the people escaped to Tzur, and the people from Tzur, seeing that they could make a profit, captured these individuals and sold them into slavery, ensuring that there was a complete Galus from Klal Yisrael. This was only done not from any malice, but only to earn money. So this parak is going to have four parts. The first is going to be talking in third person about Tzur, about its sins and its punishment. The second section of this parak, starting in Pasuk Zion, verse 7, is going to be talking in second person to Tzur about the king of Bavel coming to destroy them. The third section is going to be the reaction of the nations around Tzur, other islands, to what is happening to Tzur, as it was a very shocking occurrence that this great nation had been so destroyed by siege. And finally, it's going to be talking about the end of days of Tzur in comparison to Klal Yisrael. Pasuk Aleph tells us that this nevuah starts in the 12th year in the first of the month. Doesn't tell us what month it is, it just says the first of the month. The Malbim says that if the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the 9th of Av, this Nevuah has to come after that destruction, and so this is happening on the 1st of Elul, or the 1st of Tishrei after the Churban. The Mitzvos David and Radak say that this is happening from Av, because it's happening before the destruction, as everything is revolving around the destruction. Both these explanations are hard to understand. Tzur is being punished for the reaction on Tisha B'Av, and so, initially, if this Nevuah came before the Churban, they wouldn't have been punished yet, and there would be nothing to say. And Tzur was very close to Yerushalayim, so getting this message 2 weeks or 6 weeks after the destruction would seem to be too long. There's an Agadata in the Yerushalmi, in Gemara Tainis, which offers an explanation. It says that this Nevuah happened on Tisha B'Av. So why does it say that it's the first day of the month? The Gemara gives a mashal to explain why Yechezkel would use an ambiguous date. Imagine you have a king. His son is kidnapped, and he then has to go do some paperwork to help run the kingdom. As he's dating his documents, he's very upset and lacks concentration, so he writes the wrong date on the document. After this has happened, he looks at the document and says, "Today is going to be a new start. We are going to start dating everything from this day because it was a significant date. It's a tragic date, so this is the date we're going to be putting on here." This is what happened with Yechezkel. Yechezkel was so overwhelmed by what happened with the Korban that he just wrote it as the first day of the month. That first day is Tisha B'Av, which is now going to be a new way to measure dates and events in Klal Yisrael. Pasuk Beis, verse 2. We are going to find that Hashem, as we did in last parak, Hashem is going to tell the nation what they did wrong, and then it's going to say what their punishment will be. Yan asher amra tzor al Yerushalayim ha'ach. Since Tzor said about Yerushalayim, Harei nishbara dalasos ha'amim naseba alai. The gates for the nations was broken, and now she is turned unto me. Imal ah ha'charava. I will be filled by its waste. From the days of Shlomo and David, Tzor and Malchus Yehuda and Malchus Yisrael had a treaty. And here we see that they're very happy about the downfall. Why? Because Yerushalayim was a center of commerce and trade. Everybody would bring their merchandise there. And so now that it's destroyed, Tzor will become the other location and they will fill that need. Rav Breuer points out that in last parak we saw that Amon hated the Beis HaMikdash, the land of Israel, and the Jews. They had a philosophical aversion to Klal Yisrael. Here, the entire motivation for why Tzor was happy about the downfall was greed. The pasuk will now say, Lachain, therefore. It's going to say the consequence. In the next few psukim, it's going to use the metaphor of a sea, as this nation traveled the water for trade and was on an island. So we're very familiar with these terms. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Hineni alayach tzor, behold, I am on you, tzor, valesi alayach goyim rabim, and I will bring many nations to come against you, kalos hayam legalav, as a sea causes there to be waves. Pasuk Dalet tells us that Hashem will destroy towers, walls, and v'sichesi afara mimena, v'nasati osa letzchiach sala. I will also scrape the dust from her and make her a bare rock. This island nation would have its topsoil stripped from it. It would only be left as an inhabitable rock that can't be resettled by others. It continues that this magnificent city will be, as it says in Pasuk Hei, verse 5, Mishtach Haramim Tieh B'Sochayam. It will be a place where fishermen would come, and after they would fish, they would lay out their nets on this bare rock that had no soil in order to dry. There would be no more city, no more trade. It would just be a barren place that would be used for utility rather than for anything financial or prominent. Tzor also had villages that they controlled on the seashore of Lebanon. These villages in the Pasuk are called Banos, daughters, and the Pasuk says that they will also be killed. Pasuk Zion, verse 7, says, non-poetically, what is the meaning of this metaphor in the previous psukim, and it lays out a punishment very clearly. Nebuchadnezzar, who's called the King of Kings as he controls the whole area, is coming from the north. Besus v'rechav v'farashim v'kal v'amrav, with horses and with chariots and with horsemen and a company of many, many people. Ches, verse 8 tells us, Nebuchadnezzar, the King of Kings, will destroy the cities who are on the coast, the Banos, who are unfortified. And he will lay a siege using many of the same tools of war that we had seen earlier in Yechezkel when it described the siege of Yerushalayim. He will have a dayek, a fort so that no one could leave the city, a solala, mounds of dirt so he could shoot arrows into the city, and a tzina, fortifications to protect his own soldiers from the onslaught from Tzor. It continues describing the siege warfare about how the people will be prevented from coming out, and then he is still going to need a way to get in. Pasuk Tes, verse 9, tells us, Umechi kavalo. He's going to use battering rams to break down the walls. The island of Tzor was surrounded by large impenetrable walls and towers, which made it particularly difficult to attack. They're also going to use axes to break down the stones that are used to make the towers. Pasuk Yud, verse 10, when there is a stampede of horses, they kick up a lot of dust. There will be so many horses kicking up dust that Yechasech avakam, their dust alone will cover you. It will be like the people of Tzor are in a cloud where the day grows dark. There will be so many chariots and horsemen that their noise alone will cause Tirashna Chomosayich, your walls to shake. At that point, when Bavel comes to attack the wall, it will be as if Mivoei Ir Mivuka, they are coming into a city where there is already a breach. The Malbim explains that the residents will be so paralyzed with fear with the intensity of the onslaught and the fact that they're going to be so surprised that this nation islands would be able to be attacked even though they were surrounded by water, and Nebuchadnezzar will have built a bridge so that he could attack, that the city will be walls would be breached easily. Pasuk Yud Aleph. There will be so many horses galloping through the streets of the city that your most eskal hutosayach, all the streets will be tread down. There will be no more streets that are paved. And like the residents of the village before, the people in the city would be killed by sword. U matzavos uzeich la'aretz tered. The pillars of the strength will go down to the ground. Their most elaborate and reinforced architecture will be destroyed. This city prided itself on its wealth and importance as a city of trade. Their entire goal was to make money. It is a frightening threat, then, that in Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12, it tells us, V'shalalu chelech v'vazazu v'chuloseich, and they will make spoil of your riches and make prey of your merchandise. Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, this nation was also used to having lots of luxury and leisure time. They were so rich that they had time for music and culture. The Pasuk tells us that their songs would be silent and they would no longer be able to play. This section of the Perek ends off using similar words as was used before in Pasuk Dalet to describe what the island would look like after the battle. Unisatich litzchiach sela mishtach harmim tieh lo tibaneh od. And I will make you a bare rock. You shall be a place for spreading of nets. You will not be built again. This city full of luxuries and the most sophisticated buildings and leisure and culture and trade would never be built again and would instead be used for the low-class work of simple fishermen. It would never achieve its former glory. The Malbim says that this Nevuah is not talking about Nebuchadnezzar's time, as we know that this country will be rebuilt after a number of years, but rather it's talking about the final conquest during the time of Alexander the Great when he completely destroys this island state. Now we're going to begin the third section of the Perek, which describes the reaction of the other nations and a kina on its downfall. Pasuk Tezvav, verse 15, Hashem addresses Sora directly. The news of the downfall will impact everyone around them. They are reacting to Halo Mikol Mapaltech, at the sound of your fall. They are reacting to the news of what is going to be the impending downfall. Pasuk Tezayin, verse 16, when this happened, the princes of these island states that are surrounding Tzor will voluntarily start mourning. They will descend from their thrones to sit on the ground, trembling with fright that they will be next, and they will strip themselves of their expensive clothes. Instead, Charados Yobashu, they will dress in clothes of fear. The Mesudas David explains that they will be so consumed by anxiety and trepidation that it will be as if the fear is clothing them. The circumstances will be so remarkable and terrifying that Ishamamu alayich, they will be astounded over your troubles. At this point, the nations will say a kina, a song of lamentations, which is recorded in Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17. Ech avarta nosheves mimayim. How are you destroyed, that which was the persons of the sea? Ha'ir hahulala, the renowned city. This nation should have been unconquerable. They lived by the sea, which gave them protection. They had fortifications and towers and were well armed. The inhabitants were strong and well-trained. All the other nations and islands were afraid of this island state because of its power. Nonetheless, they were destroyed. Pasuk Yuches, verse 18, serves as the bookend for this section that talks about how the other nations will react. Initially, in Pasuk Tezayin, the nations are afraid because of the rumors of the fall. Here, it describes what will happen on Yom Mapaltech, on the day of your actual fall. V'nevalu ha'iyem asher b'yom mitzeisech. The islands in this area are going to be frightened by your going out to Galus. The last section of this perek is three psukim, starting with Pasuk Yotes, verse 19, which describes Sora's end. B'siti osach ir nechareves. When I, meaning Hashem himself, makes this a desolate city. Hashem himself is orchestrating this downfall so that this island city won't be able to be settled again, and the waters that protected it from an attack will now drown it. So intense would be the destruction that it will be as if the city was never there. Pasuk Chaf, verse 20. This destruction is not only for this world. Horadatich es yordei vor el am olam. I will bring you down with them that descend into the pit to the people of the old time. The people of Tzor will join all the other nations, such as the generation of flood, in receiving their eternal place in the world to come. This nation will be buried in the grave, and it won't be revived. In contrast, V'nasati tzvi be'eretz chayim, I will set glory and beauty in the lands of the living. Hashem will restore the beauty of Eretz Israel, according to the Mesudas David, at the time of Tchiyas HaMesem, the revival of the dead. Its beauty will once again be renewed. This nation of Tsor that was so happy about Yerushalayim's downfall will be, in the end, the one that is destroyed forever. Pasuk Chavalef, verse 21, the parak ends. Balahos etnech ve'inech. I will make you a terror, and you shall be no more. Usuvukshi velo simatsi od olam, and you will be sought for, but you will never be found. People will want to see this beautiful city, but they won't be able to. They will search for it, but it will not be found. In summary, in this parak we discussed the nation-state of Tsor and its punishment and downfall. Initially, they were very happy about the fact that Yehuda had been sent into Galus because they felt they would be able to step in and take whatever trade Yehuda was engaged in. They would now be the focus of all trade and they would dominate the region, even though they had had a strong treaty with the Jewish nation for centuries. In the end, they will be decimated and destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, and then finally by Alexander the Great, and they would have no remembrance of this powerful Phoenician city that lay and controlled the region for so many years. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Basvi Yosef.